Welcome to Journal Club for November 4th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. Think back for a moment to the first time you ever drove a car. It was you, it was whoever was teaching you, the steering wheel, gas, brake, clutch, and the shifter. If you're a bit younger, then maybe no clutch. But as far as advanced technology, that was probably it. You may have had a radio or some way to play music, but if you're like me, you didn't have a phone, GPS, LiDAR, cameras, motion sensors, traffic data, Bluetooth, or anything else fancy. Learning to navigate from point A to point B was a white-knuckle, manual process. It was you taking in visual, auditory, haptic, and contextual information as it came in, and then reacting in real time. If you wanted to get across town, you simply willed the car in that direction and dealt with whatever came at you. You just, figured it out. A lot of the time, you messed up, but that was part of the process, trial and error. If you did well, you hopefully got some positive feedback. If you did poorly, you got some constructive feedback, and eventually you learned how to drive. It was messy, it took a long time, but it worked. In today's paper, the authors argue that the way that you and I learned how to drive, the way that humans learn to drive in general, is fundamentally different from the way we're teaching autonomous vehicles to drive. And they've built a system that is less like traditional autonomous driving and way more like the way that you and I learned. Now, before we get too deep into this, it's important to point something out. In this paper, the authors are not saying that the way humans learn to drive is better than the way that autonomous vehicles are being trained. Not at all. They're just saying that it's different, and therefore worth exploring. In this paper, they grapple with the thought experiment. What would the process of autonomous driving training look like if it was more human? In this paper, the thing they build is not a physical car, and it's really not even software that would work in a car. It's a library, a package, just a set of algorithms and procedures that are designed to run in Carla, which is a driving simulator built on Unreal Engine. And within the universe of a Carla simulation, the software they built acts as a driver of the car. There's a car within the simulation that needs to go from point A to point B, and the software takes in all the visual and contextual information as it comes in, and then invokes functions in Carla to operate the car. To really understand how this software works and why it's novel, we first need to review what traditional autonomous driving software would do in this situation. And then we can come back and juxtapose this software against the traditional autonomous driving software model. It's in those differences that we can see the point of what they built here. So let's take a second to review traditional autonomous driving. Traditional autonomous driving software uses a modular approach. Typically, it consists of layers for perception, decision-making, planning, and control. Perception modules interpret raw data from sensors, like LiDAR and cameras, to detect objects and estimate vehicle's position. The decision-making module determines high-level behaviors, while the planning module maps out paths and maneuvers. Finally, the control module sends these instructions to the vehicle's actuators to execute driving tasks. This structured architecture offers reliability, but tends to overfit to well-defined scenarios. It lacks flexibility in handling unfamiliar situations and requires extensive computational resources. Okay, with that under our belt, let's go back to what these researchers did differently. They combined four key components to make their software, so let's look at those four components separately and then zoom out to how they're all working together. Variational autoencoder, VAE. As visual input comes into the system, they use a variational autoencoder to process it. A VAE is a machine learning model that can encode and decode data, transforming complex input like high-quality images into simpler, low-dimensional representations called latent vectors. Vectors, recall, are just points or coordinates in a space with metadata, representing compressed information. In this software, they use the VAE to reduce the information in the image to a latent vector of a more manageable size, enabling the system to handle visual data without straining memory. So in effect, visual information comes in, but what the rest of the software sees and needs to process is a streamlined, essential version of the scene. State and action spaces. A state space is a collection of variables that describe the current condition of the environment and the car. In this software, the state space includes the VAE-derived vectors and vehicle state vectors like speed, position, and orientation. These all together provide a comprehensive environmental understanding, or at least enough understanding in the moment for the rest of the software to decide what to do next. An action space, in contrast, defines the possible moves or outputs the system can make, such as acceleration, braking, or steering. In this software, the action space is used to specify how the car should respond to each state it encounters. Reinforcement learning. This is where the meat of the software lives. Reinforcement learning, as the name suggests, revolves around the concept of rewards, or reinforcements. Rewards are feedback signals the system receives based on its actions, indicating success or failure. To implement this kind of system in this software, they utilize the soft actor critic, that's SAC, algorithm. This algorithm uses stochastic policies, meaning it evaluates actions based on probabilities and aims to maximize long-term rewards while balancing immediate goals. By using SAC, they were able to create a system that rewarded itself when it performed useful actions, such as maintaining safe driving distances. And then it iterated on this learning. So it learns once, repeats the experiment, and learns more, compounding on top of what it learned last time. Replay buffer. A replay buffer is just a fancy name for a data store. In this project, they used it to store past experiences. Not learned things, but artifacts of its experiences, like a memory. They want to store these memories so that they can be used for what's called off-policy learning. In off-policy learning, the software revisits past experiences and reviews them to improve its current strategy. When you combine off-policy learning with the on-the-fly learning that happens during driving, you have a really powerful learning system that is very much like a human. It operates the car with information it has at the time, but when it's done driving, it reflects on what just happened and tries to learn from it. When you combine those four components, variational autoencoder, state and action spaces, reinforcement learning, and a replay buffer, you end up with a software library for Carla that is able to navigate like a human would, through trial and error, on-the-fly adjustments, and reflection. Like a human being, it can react to changes, draw on past experiences, and learn continuously. And this is critically different from traditional autonomous driving software because rather than relying strictly on predefined rules, it learns dynamically. And rather than only considering current inputs, it uses historical data as well. So you end up with a system that behaves in a way much more human and much less rigid. But we have to ask ourselves, is that good? Is being more human a goal? Well, as I said in the beginning, the authors never claim that this kind of system is better, just that it's worth exploring. That being said, let's look at how this software fared during the Carla simulations in which it was tested against traditional methods and alternative algorithms. Success rate. The new system showed a higher success rate than the other algorithms tested, the DTPG and TD3, but still fell short of traditional methods. That is, traditional autonomous driving training methods were still demonstrably better. They were able to consistently outperform this new model in terms of success rate. Average episode length. The new system completed episodes faster, indicating it required fewer steps to reach destinations, but also showed occasional high-speed loops and unintentional rotations, especially in challenging settings. Reward comparison. The new approach yielded higher average rewards than its competitors, revealing that it effectively optimized positive behaviors such as maintaining speed and avoiding collisions. Training duration impact. Extending training time didn't consistently improve results. This finding suggests a potential upper limit on how much that SAC-based learning can improve navigation without redesigning its reward function. Image quality and latent state impact. High-quality images led to more stable behavior compared to low-quality images, showing the advantage of rich visual data in learning nuanced driving behavior. So what can we learn from this software, from this experiment? Narrowly, if you work in autonomous driving or are dipping your toes into those waters, this package they built is structurally something I think is worth emulating. From a system design perspective, that is. We don't, unfortunately, get access to their GitHub here, but if you go to Carla.org and click on their docs and their GitHub, there's more than enough starter or boilerplate there to get you going if you want to play around with the driving simulator yourself, or start building something similar to what the researchers did here. Broadly, I'll try not to wax too poetically here, but this paper is an interesting snapshot in time that helps preserve the conversations that we're all having and need to have around the structural goals of AI. That conversation being, what are we actually trying to build? When designing our ML systems, are we trying to build an artificial version of human intelligence? Or are we trying to build something that is arguably such a different type of intelligence, so different from how the human mind works, that it's not artificial at all? It's not trying to be like us, it's just different. Anyway, too big of a topic to dive into here, but as you go about your day and work on these projects, I think it's something we should be keeping in mind. because if we're trying to build human intelligence in artificial form, truly AI, we, like the researchers in this paper, might actually need to do things completely differently than we're currently doing them. Systems need to be refactored, rethought, and restructured to be more human, if that's the goal. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.